God's good, isn't he? All the time. I like that. I appreciate the fact of God's goodness and mercy unto us always, and he's so precious. And I thank God for him. These children up here singing, we just dedicated that child. These children up here singing, and what a joy that is. What a joy. Never take for granted that children in the church get up and sing or do anything, or the children in the church, just children. I appreciate children. Sometimes they mess around things and you want to get a hold of them, but I'm glad they're here.
Amen.
I'm glad they're here. Especially those Hill children. They're mean as a Dickens. Oh, I'm sorry, Mark. I didn't know you said that. I'm kidding with him. Somebody said what made the preacher's children so mean was he played with deacon's kids. I don't know what that is. We'll just take that for whatever it's worth. I don't know what it's worth. Probably nothing. But anyway, I think children are just children, that's all. But God-given, and it's good to have them in church, good to teach them, love them, and see them grow up. And I tell you, you never know what God's going to do for one of those little ones. I was holding Levi and thinking, you never know what God's going to do with that child, how he's going to turn out, what God's going to do with him. And if Jesus doesn't come and take us out of here soon, he'll grow up, and that child will be a grown child. All right, look in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 again. I'm going to read the same scripture I read this morning, and I'll try to recap that just a little bit. I don't know that I'll try to limit myself on that and then try to share just a couple of thoughts with you. Tonight, I feel like it's needful in this because I think it's such an important subject of repentance. Let's stand, please, while we read the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preaventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege of prayer. And thank you, Lord, again, that you give children to parents that raise them in church and teach them a Bible and have a home that's a Christian home and grandparents that love you. And I pray, God, you just bless that home and bless all the children of the church and families, moms and dads. And I pray, Father, lead us and guide us and help us, God, to raise those children for your glory and for your honor. Then I pray tonight, Father, that you bless all those who've come this way. There's some in the house of God tonight that's been sick, and there's some here that's sick tonight and don't feel good, have pain. I pray, God, you'd help them and touch them. And then those who've been in bereavement and sorrow, and then there are those of our church family that's going through things that they're struggling with right now. And I pray in Jesus' name, give them grace, give them strength, and give them wisdom. And I pray the Holy Spirit of God would work in their hearts and the hearts of their family and do those things that would please you and bring glory to you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love, goodness, and mercy. We praise you and thank you. And I pray tonight some precious unsaved would see the need to repent and be saved. I pray for those that may be saved, all of us, God, that look at ourselves and see something in our lives that we need to repent and get out of our lives. I pray you'd help us, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm talking about repentance today, and let me again say to you that repentance is a very vital part of that being saved. I don't want to de-emphasize that in any way because I believe it's a lack of preaching of repentance today in our lives and across America. Repent. We hear a lot about how good God loves us, and he does. And by the way, I'm a firm believer that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Has nothing to do with works. Works only comes after salvation. And repentance, though, is a part of believing. And I said this morning, to really believe is to repent. To really repent is to believe. And you cannot You cannot disengage the two because they are together. And we must realize that fact. But when we talk about repentance, there are those that talk about being saved, but there's been no repentance. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The devil believes that Jesus is the Son of God, but he's not saved. It's making God, the Holy Ghost, making that real to your heart, and God doing something to help you that certainly be what we need in this thing of repentance. And again, I give you Acts 20:21, and it says, testifying both to the Jews and Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that we might see that it's both that we need that repentance, and we need faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that God would help us to see that we do need to repent. And I do call, John the Baptist started out preaching repentance. Jesus preached repentance. The disciples preached repentance. Paul preached repentance. And Peter on the day of Pentecost preached repentance. And fact is, in Luke 13, Jesus talking about some there and said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And he talked about the blood, some that Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And then talked about the Tyre Siloam and fell on some. I believe 18 people, and said, you think they more wicked than all the Galileans? He said, I think not. And said, likewise, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. And so tonight, I say to you, you need to repent. If you're not saved, you're going to. If you don't repent, you'll be lost and go to hell as sure as I'm standing where I stand. And if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, that goes together. And so this morning we talked about that importance of it, and I gave you those illustrations I just ran through briefly. And then we talked about the elements of it, or properties of that, and we talked about intellect. When I say intellect, now I mean the mind. And part of repentance is a change of mind. If your mind never gets changed, you'll never come to God. And the only way your mind can change is God to change it. Amen. Renew your mind. Romans 12 talks about that, 1 and 2. Talked about renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable will of God. The mind is a gate through which enters thoughts of our life. The devil uses it. God uses it. And so the mind, we have to use the mind. And God, the Holy Ghost, convicts. And the mind, you have a change of mind. I said this morning, get this very clearly. Change of mind is that you agree with God about how bad you really are. That's what we're talking about in that change of mind. It has nothing to do with works, has nothing to do with that we make up our minds to do something. And sometimes we talk about decision. It's not a decision for God. God, the Holy Ghost, does a convicting and drawing. It's a work of God that saves us. And we're saved by grace through faith. We know that. But this thing of repentance, I'm trying to get across repentance today. Repentance. And if our mind is never affected, it won't affect it. That man at the hog pen, that son, that prodigal, he came to himself. And he remembered. That means he started thinking. He remembered God. I believe God got him under conviction right there. And he started thinking. So we talked about that. We talked about emotions and being sorry that we sinned, more than just the fact that we got found out or it's caused us trouble, but we're sorry that we sinned against God, a holy God. And that's part of it. Then we talked about the will of man and that will being turned around. Real repentance is going one direction and turning and going the other direction. Your mind is changed. Your sorrow, you sinned against God, and your direction is changed, and you start toward God. That's true repentance. And we talked about that this morning. I pray that God would help everyone understand about that, because I long to see true repentance. Amen. And when true repentance happens, it'll turn from sin to the living God. The day our world is filled with people that say they're saved but have never turned from sin to God. And that's not biblical salvation. And biblical salvation is a turning from sin to God. Now, not just changing your mind about it, but turning from it and yielding yourself and directing your faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this tonight, and I'll try to handle this. Well, I just want to preach. We talked about the importance of it, the elements of it, but let me share this with you now. How is it produced? And I think this will answer some other questions about what I'm trying to say. How is repentance produced in a life anyway? I want you to look at verse number 25. I don't know whether you ever paid any attention to this or not, but it jumped out at me. It says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Now, I'll stop there. That's not where I'm headed to, but we oppose ourselves and don't know it. And when you're lost, you're opposing yourself. If you let sin in your life and don't deal with it, you're opposing yourself because you're hurting yourself. But notice what it said. If God, preaventure, will give them repentance to acknowledging of the truth. Give them repentance. It's a gift of God. Repentance is the same as faith. Faith is a, God, Bible says that God's given every man a measure of faith. Is that not what the Bible says? Here he says that repentance is a gift of God. And so as I thought about that, the same gospel that calls for repentance causes repentance to be produced in a life. And it's like faith. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As you hear the word of God, conviction comes. God the Holy Ghost does a work in your heart. And he moves you toward Christ. It'll move you in the way of repentance from sin. And so it all moves together in that. You remember and preaching, and that's what God said, show my fools are preaching. Save them that believe. I still believe God uses preaching. I still believe preaching the word of God, God can use that. I have preached messages that I thought was just to save people and somebody gets saved. I have preached messages I thought was just to the unsaved and some folk get right with God and get some things straightened out. I found out it don't make any difference what I think about the preaching. It's just preach what God gives you and preach the word of God, and God will do what he wants to do with it in the heart. I can preach a message, God may apply it to his heart one way and to her heart another way. God can take his word and do what he wants to do with it. But God said he chose by fools of preaching. He didn't say foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching. And preaching this book is God's way. And you remember Jonah? Of course, Jonah had a problem about where to go and what he didn't want to do, what God said to do. But once God got his attention, and he did get his attention, and once God got him going in the right direction, Jonah went into Nineveh a day's journey preaching. That's 3 days' journey. I don't believe it was 3 days getting there, but 3 days. That city is so big, it'd take 3 days to get through it. And he started in a day's journey preaching. And as he was preaching, he didn't say a word about repentance, but he did say, God's going to destroy this place in 40 days. God's going to destroy this place. You know what happened? As he preached judgment, the whole city repented. The king right on down. He even said, put sackcloth on everybody. And everybody fast and pray and repent. Well, God's going to destroy the whole thing. They believed what the man of God said, preaching, and got under conviction, and they repented. Amen. I believe that's how it works. You get under real conviction, you don't want to repent. You may not even know what the word repent is, but you will repent. Amen. I probably couldn't give you a definition for repentance. When God saved me, I couldn't give you the elements of it or what it meant, but I could have told you one thing. I want to turn from sin to God, and I want God to save me, keep me out of hell, and take me to heaven. But more than that, I also wanted to live for God. Amen. I had a desire to please him. Amen. And to do that, why don't you turn with me in Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 41. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 41. Listen to what it says. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented. Now, that said they repented, so I know they really repented because God said they did. They repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. He's saying a greater than Jonas here. Jesus was there preaching. But he said they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And so let me say to you tonight, he preached judgment, and they repented. Let me say to you tonight, judgment's coming. And if you're unsaved, hell is real. And you'll find your place in hell as sure as I stand where I'm standing. And if you have hidden sin in your life, there'll be a day that God will bring that to light. And God will bring that into judgment. God will not let you get by with it. God will deal with it, and it will be exposed. So how is repentance produced? By the gospel that is preached. The word of God preaching will produce repentance as the Holy Ghost takes it and works in the hearts to produce it. It'll cause repentance to come. But let me give you the results of repentance. Real, true repentance. Now, the crux of what I'm saying tonight and this morning is the fact that repentance is a necessity of being saved, is a necessity of our lives day by day to live for God, is true repentance. Turning from sin to God, letting God have his way, and living for God. Now, as we think about the joy, I want you to turn with me, please, in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter number 15. And verse number 7, that great chapter 15, Gospel of Luke, got a lot of stuff in it, but look at verse number 7. This one had found a sheep and come back and said, "Rejoice with me, I found my sheep." Here's what Jesus said. "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven." You know what repentance reproduces? Joy in heaven. How about that? It produces joy in heaven. "And over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Look in verse number 10. "Likewise." Now here's one found that coin that was lost and said, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." I say a repentance produces joy in heaven. And anything that produces joy in heaven, I think I want a part of it. I want to get in on it down here because it causes joy over there. And so I'm going to cry, repent, repent, repent. Because when you repent and I repent, it'll cause joy in heaven. Amen. And so thank God it does. I believe it made news in heaven when I got saved. I believe it made news in heaven when you got saved. Amen. It didn't come out in the newspaper. They didn't put it on the radio, but it made news in glory. Amen. That's better than who's who, what's what, and where's where down here is making news in heaven. True repentance will make news in heaven. But I want you to turn with me in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter number 55 and verse 6 and 7. Really, I want to get to verse 7, but 6, I just want to read to you because you need to hear it. Verse number 6, Isaiah chapter 55. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near." While you have an opportunity to get saved, you best take advantage of that opportunity. You're in the house of God. You're hearing a man preach. Holy Spirit's here, present, working. And preacher, how you know? Because I know he works in my heart. Amen. And he's doing something in other hearts. And you know that you ought to listen to him. "Let the wicked forsake his way." And that's repentance. "Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon." I say hallelujah. The Bible said he will forgive. He'll pardon. He abundantly will pardon. True repentance brings forgiveness. Aren't you glad tonight you can repent and God will forgive? God makes it plain in his word if we really repent. Really godly sorrow, work of repentance. If we really sorry sinned against God and we'll turn from that sin to God by faith, believe, and trust in Jesus. Oh, that's all one happening. And let God do the work in our hearts and saving, let him do the work in forgiving us. He promised to do that. And I say hallelujah for forgiveness. Amen. And then in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Paul put it like Peter, rather, was preaching. And he said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, I know, and I don't want you to misunderstand me, when we baptize folk, they don't get the Holy Ghost then. He preached this on the day of Pentecost. It was before the canon was finished, the Word of God completed. And it was before all that was completed, and so the Holy Ghost had not come in power on everybody. But on the day of Pentecost, he preached and said, "If you repent, and God will forgive you for the remission of sins through Jesus, and the Holy Ghost will be the gift I'll give to you." I say hallelujah. I'm glad when I repented and got saved, I got the Holy Ghost to live inside of me. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad there's a power that's inside of me that's greater than he that's in the world. Hey, something inside that can help me when nothing else can help me. And if it wasn't for him, I'd be in a mess, tell you the truth about it, because I can't handle the devil. I'm no match for the devil. Temptation comes, I can't handle it. A problem comes, I can't handle it. But I'm glad he that lives on the inside, he can handle any situation, any time, any temptation. He can take care of it and help me through it. Amen. If I live, I'm glad he, the Holy Ghost, lives on the inside. He's my help. He's my one that is my strength, and I praise him. You can't separate God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If you have one, you have it all. Amen. I praise God for that. One, you have all. I remember that story, and you probably have heard it, about the man that had the collection, art collection, had a picture of his son killed in the war. And he had somebody painted a picture of his son, and he had all kinds of art collection that was worth probably millions of dollars, and going to put it on auction. And he said, we're going to start. The auctioneer said, we're going to start with the son's picture here. And who wants to buy it? Now, it wasn't anything great, but it's a picture of his son. And so the bidding started and very low, never did get very much, a few dollars. I don't remember what the story goes, but just a few dollars. And the auctioneer said, sold, and said, it's finished. Everything's finished. This man just bought everything. They said, how that can that be? He just bid on that one picture. Said the owner had left word in his will. Whoever had the son got it all. I say hallelujah. I have the son. I have it all. I have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Three in one. Aren't you glad you got it all? In Jesus, I say amen. Praise God. Have you repented? Have you really repented and trusted Christ and gotten saved? If not, tonight's a good night to do that. There's some folk here that's unsaved. You need to repent. I mean truly repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that all will go together and work together, that God the Holy Ghost may do a work in your heart, move in, and you be a new creature in Christ. What a wonderful thing that is to think about. True repentance, true faith in Jesus. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I pray in Jesus' name the Holy Spirit would take the Word of God, speak to some precious heart. Lord, you know who's here lost and without God. You know who's here that's saved and there's something in their life that they need to repent of. I pray tonight be the night that the Holy Spirit would just do that work and do that that's needful and help them. And we'll praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.